There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Over two centuries ago, it was England that taxed our tea. Now it's Brussels trying to regulate our companies. Under new European regulations, American businesses face crushing fines, forced disclosures, and foreign red tape that kills jobs here at home. America's laws should be written in America, not Brussels. Reject European regulatory overreach and uphold Trump's trade deal. Paid for by Americans for Limited Government.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J.O.
The J. Big J.O. Woo. I mean, you're not just killing it on this platform. You're across so many different places. You're everywhere right now, but the laugh with me, it's no laughing matter.
It is no laughing matter at all. We've gone global, baby. You can find us on the iHeartRadio network.
Yeah. And you get somebody like iHeart behind you. Who knows? I mean, you've already taken over the world. Are we talking like beyond?
I have set it as a goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I told my wife that I've set it as a goal that I would like to host one of those iHeart jingle balls. You know, they do at Christmas time, those big arena concerts.
Okay.
Yeah. So right. As you can tell, I've got my sights set pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking like Interstellar, you know, something like that. Universe, like you're taking over the universe.
Well, if they ever do another Space Jam, maybe I could be an announcer of the game or something.
I like that. I mean, they gave LeBron James a crack at it. You know, I think people are ready for the next thing, you know.
Yeah.
A little underwhelming if, you know, I didn't see it, so I'm just saying.
Oh, you didn't watch the movie?
No, I didn't see the LeBron James one.
Don't see it.
Okay, see? That's what I'm talking about.
I did see it. Don't see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I do a lot of broadcasting, a lot of high school games, and I see a bunch of the old school, like they do theme nights, jersey nights, the student section. See a lot of the Looney Tunes, the original ones.
Yeah.
You know.
People love, though, that throwback.
Yeah, but I don't see any of the LeBron ones, you know, so just that alone, you know.
Funny story. At Shields, I did see it like a LeBron Space Jam jersey on the rack. Uh-huh. It was the clearance rack.
Okay.
But I saw it for sale back when the movie came out. And I thought, well, that looks cool.
Just started on the clearance rack.
I did not buy it, but I did see one.
Okay.
So they are out there.
They're out there. All right. And maybe it just stayed on that clearance rack. Who knows? Before we look too far ahead, we got to look a little back here. Huskers faceplant. Huh. Faceplant against Penn State. I don't know how many times this team, this fan base, this coaching staff can be humbled. Just think of Penn State now. Remember that talk about, was Matt Rhule our guy? He's an Iowa guy. I think they just answered that for themselves.
They moved on, yeah.
Wow. and then, of course, Barstool gets to run with it and the whole nine yards. Just brutal. And I'm living through this. I really don't want to focus too much on that because I want to have a happy holiday, you know. But we do have to recognize Penn State covered.
by quite a bit, yeah. They did cover.
Oh, man.
Well, they do say, you know, at the holidays, you never talk about politics.
Yeah.
And you never talk about Husker football at the table because this kind of stuff will happen.
Oh, man. It used to be what brought everybody together. Oh. You know, that cranky uncle that had that one take, but you could always level with him with Husker football, you know?
Well, Coach Rhule, he did say post-game that they were prepared, that he thought they were prepared.
Yeah.
That all the coaches, all the players, everybody mm-hmm. thought they were ready for this.
Yeah.
That's just...
More questions.
So it's not even a matter of teams that are ranked. It's a matter of teams that maybe have been ranked at some point in the season that are bugaboo, because that was bad.
I heard this take, and I'm chewing on it right now, and it speaks to his demeanor as a coach, Coach Rhule, and his staff, how every game they look at it as it's a process. You know, you got to win all four quarters, and you got to win, most importantly, in the fourth quarter. So everything's kind of even keel. That's fine and dandy, and they've won some games this year winning in the fourth quarter. That's correct. Been nice. But when you don't start a game off with your hair on fire, ready to deliver that first punch, it appears that you're flat.
Well, you could argue that the Huskers looked pretty good on that first drive.
Yes.
And did exactly that. Hair on fire, let's go. And then fourth down, you go for it. And I'm sure, I don't know how many of us were thinking this very thing. If we don't get this, what's going to happen? And then sure enough, you don't take the points. And then next thing you know, it's quite a while till we score.
I was a little shocked to hear, you know, throughout the week, everybody has their take, and nobody covers the Huskers like Husker media.
That's right.
But I was kind of surprised to hear the majority of Husker media, whether it's radio guys, YouTubers, whatever, they were on Coach Rhule's side saying, go for it in that spot because you need touchdowns to beat Penn State. When I consumed that, when I saw that, and my first thought, and then when I thought back on it, I want to take the lead.
Yeah,
I'm so conservative. And also, like, funny things happen when you're on the road and you're up on a team. Put the pressure on them. If we don't expect to win the game anyway, go ahead and say, hey, we were winning. Like, I want to, and it's more of a cocky attitude in my mind to do the humble thing and just take the lead, you know, like the Huskers used to do when they would dominate teams. I don't understand this, got to do it right now in order to win. Okay, you do that, you put so much on the line, and then you get fed your medicine, and you're on the road. What's so wrong with taking the lead when you can get it?
Well, isn't the game whoever scores the most points? Yeah, I mean, take the points where you can get them. You don't know when your next shot is. You hope it's on the next drive, but you just don't know. Take the three, and if you go for it on fourth down and you get shut down like we did, then what? Then Penn State gets to just play their game. They don't feel the pressure of, oh, now
exactly.
now we're down. Oh,
exactly.
They're going to go up and score us. Like, you just gave them a gift, not just on taking points off the board, but then in their mentality of it. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot to the game, and it just seems like we're going backwards.
And don't come at me with the, oh, you just wanted those 3 points to help your cover. So what?
Yeah, who cares? That's what we do.
Come on. Jeez. You know what else it could have done is led to a victory. But, I mean, obviously not in that game. There's a lot of things that went off the rails. So, much like Coach Rhule in his postgame presser and later this week, he wants to put that game in a shelf, in the drawer, and leave it be.
We're on to Iowa.
We're Iowa. The Hawkeyes. They are coming to town, Memorial Stadium, where they've had a lot of success over the years since we've joined the Big Ten. Opened up as a 5.5-point favorite on many books. It has dwindled to 4. Imagine that. Nebraska's point spread moving quite a bit after the opening line of 5.5 down to 4. It just feels like if this game just goes the way it has over the years, Nebraska will be in control. Nebraska will feel really good, up by a couple of scores. And then here we are with, 5 seconds left to go, 10 seconds left to go, and Iowa has this on the ropes, and they're about to win by 3.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Iowa doesn't leave points laying around the field.
Oh, my God.
They take the points where they can get them. Sometimes it's in threes.
You mean like a Minnesota team that in the first quarter they'll punt on fourth and short?
That's exactly.
Wow.
Incredible. Huh. That's you, man. You just gave me, like, I just had that, like, PTSD, you know, a little bit.
That PJ Fleck PTSD.
Yeah, I'm like, PJ Fleck, PJ Fleck.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you there.
I almost fell out of my chair. I thought we were talking about Iowa. Yeah, that's the thing. They're really good at doing the basic things. And, we like to laugh about that, you know. Yeah. And sure, they well deserve the jokes about it.
They earn them. Earn it all.
But they beat us with it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's have to play that game.
Yeah. So right now I'm actually seeing some sixes on the boards out there. Obviously, we cannot bet on this on our home books because we still have a funny rule that allows us to bet out of state but not in state. So a lot of these things, you'll have to just, you know, drive 5 miles this way, 10 miles that way, whatever. Then you can. It's okay. But I am seeing some sixes now. Iowa favored by 6. And this little on sportswire.com, saying Iowa's going to cover this by six. You got that total at 38.5. They're also saying take the over. Both of those things are kind of shocking to me because this is a, whether Iowa's good, Nebraska's bad, it's a close game.
Yeah.
And like last year, I think it was 13-10. Low scoring game.
Low scoring game. Well, that's the total that I've seen is like 39.5, in that range. Yep. So then it's like, all right, that could be a low scoring game, much higher than that 13-10 you were talking about. But that's the sixes concern me because I feel like this game's going to be close.
Yeah.
Because the last 2 years, I mean, it just comes down to that field goal and you can just kind of see it in your head.
Yeah.
So I like that the line to just get a little bit closer. But man, hitting the over, if this game can just become somewhat of a shootout. I mean, I'm asking a lot with Iowa.
Yeah, you are.
If just a little bit, that 39.5 is doable.
Very doable. I mean, this matchup predictor has Iowa winning 27-20. So they're smashing the over with that. But what has Iowa done this year to make me think that they're going to score 27 points offensively? Right. You're just counting on our bad tackling. And sometimes we do tackle. Sometimes our defense shows up.
That would come straight from the running back and their line just manhandling us, which...
All right. Now this model's starting to make sense to me here on sportswire.com. Okay.
But you don't expect the quarterback from Iowa, Gronkowski.
He's a good runner. But he had one of his better games last week. Beating Michigan State like they would beat Nebraska on a last-second field goal, went 12 of 22, so 54.5% completion percentage, one touchdown, one interception, and he had 57 yards on 11 carries. And he was just celebrating his butt off there at the end of the fourth quarter, and why not? They won.
They won.
But he made the big throw when he needed to. Yikes.
At the end of the day, you just need one, right?
I guess. Depending where this point spread falls, that's the key to me. The threshold here for me is probably that 4 points. If I can get Iowa 4, I'll take Nebraska covering that. If it gets closer, then I got Iowa covering. And that's just because of the past 12, 15 years experience I have with the Nebraska-Iowa game. Last week got burned because I thought Penn State would win the game. I just thought Nebraska would make it into a game.
Yeah. Well,
no.
And the very fact that we didn't make it a game just kind of feeds into everything this Iowa-Nebraska Heroes game matchup's been forever.
Oh,
and that's why
the illustrious Heroes game.
And I'm right there with you on the, you know, anything 4 points or higher.
Yeah.
I got Nebraska, but if it dips below that,
yeah.
I mean, why didn't you just go with the dad in front of you was just says I was gonna cover that.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
It did. Give me any other reason. I mean, Iowa even beat the tar out of Penn State earlier this year. And then Penn State's got a great run defense. They got a good rushing attack, and you can make the case Iowa has better on both fronts.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yikes. Yeah.
Yikes. I get it, though. You know, there's emotions into it, but facts are facts. Nebraska's on a short week. So is Iowa. I get it. But it just feels like they're better equipped for this game. And earlier in the week, it was windier and all get out, so weather might play a factor. I feel like that probably plays into Iowa's repertoire as well. Real quick, let's get back to that total. Let's say it is 39.5. It's probably going to come down a little bit here. You were making a case for that over. Is that where you're going to lay your money though?
No, I'm thinking under.
Yeah.
Especially if that's the line that we're kind of sitting at is around that 39.5.
Yep.
But I feel like this game's going to be very similar to last year.
Yeah.
With that 13-10 kind of lies kind of in that range, especially from what Iowa's offense gives us. We know what Nebraska's can do. It's just after last week, you kind of wonder if, maybe the UCLA game was a one-off.
And I don't want to put too much on Latif because I thought he did a pretty darn good job.
He did a good job.
No interceptions. Yes. Man, he had a lot of pressure in his face. He was on the road. I know it wasn't a sellout crowd, but it was still a loud crowd.
Still loud, yeah.
Big crowd, big road environment. Hopefully, he had that home field advantage will serve him well. And, hey, maybe we can threaten that over, but I'm taking the under as well.
Yeah.
Well, we're up against it, but let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is NordVPN. Browse, work, and play online with confidence thanks to the world-class cybersecurity. Shield your online activities, hide your hide your virtual location, and block everyday internet threats with NordVPN. Receive up to 77% off when using our WTL link within the description. And hey, it's a home game, so, you know, makes, yeah, right?
This is perfect timing for this reason.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
All he does is work out and hit bonus. 10 and 2, 85% weekend. You're a mutant!
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. You know what that stands for? Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm yours, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J.O.
The J.O. And we're just going to keep this train rolling.
Yeah, go Big Red.
We're going to go Big Red. It's Friday, the night game at Memorial Stadium. 11 o'clock kick. Boy's going to be up in time. A little early.
It's going to be a little chilly out.
Yeah.
It's going to be, getting the crusties out of your eyes.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a number of night games. It's got to be tough for those guys, you know, going from a night game to early game like that and all these national broadcasts. I just, you know, I feel bad for them.
They're professional athletes at this point, right?
That is amazing that, you know, you try, you know, I find myself being a Husker apologist, you know, like, but the boy, they're just kids.
They're just kids.
Making six figures.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
They'll be all right.
I used to care about that. Now I'm like, yeah, they'll be okay.
Yeah. Nah, I don't think so.
Go do your job.
All right, so we want to talk some player props, and we got a slew of props that are fitting, tailor fit for this Iowa-Nebraska hero game matchup. Is this brought to us by Hy-Vee? Is this a Hy-Vee thing?
You know, it used to. I don't know that it is anymore.
Hy-Vee can come up with heroes for us, or what? What's going on here?
I think, well, there's you can find a hero in every aisle with all those smiles going on. But that's
oh jeez.
Yeah, but
free shout outs.
Yeah.
we love you, Hy-Vee, based out of Iowa, but still. Employee-owned, tip of the cap.
Yep.
All right. So I think one of the props that we got to get into is Emmett Johnson, his over-under rushing total. He has been the bright spot, you'd have to say, for the Husker offense throughout the season. He is averaging 113 yards on the ground at home throughout this entire season. That is where that total is at, over or under. Iowa's got a great run defense, but for whatever reasons, Nebraska flips that switch at home and they pile up the yards, and EJ has been at the forefront of that. He's going to get a lot of carries. Let's see here. I think he's got, over 220 carries on the season already. Ooh. Well over 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns. He's averaging even after last week. Last week, he even got 100 yards.
Yeah.
Somehow. He's averaging 5.6 yards per carry. You can see it, but the Iowa defense stands in the way. What do you think?
That's most of that game last week. You're probably going, well, give it to Johnson. Where's Johnson? Why isn't Johnson making the big? He was getting his.
Yeah.
I mean, 103 yards last week, 129 the week before, 165 against USC, 124 against Northwestern.
Yeah.
Give me the over, even against the Iowa Hawkeye defensive line. I like this challenge for him. I mean, you just spewed off a whole bunch of stats that tell me he's probably NFL ready. And if he's going to be NFL ready, he's going to go up against some NFL studs on that defensive line.
So. Yeah, and he's got nearly 1,000 yards just against Big Ten competition alone. So he has been able to kind of carry that pail. That's been the question that's been answered. Is he durable enough? Well, he has been. He is.
He's shown it.
And this is the last game of the season for all intents and purposes, right? You know, I feel that it's going to come down to just like what we saw in the Penn State game. Can he break one off for 35 yards, 40 yards, or more? If he can get a splash play, I love the over. He's going to get it. But if he doesn't get that, if Iowa just contains him and does Iowa things, if they Iowa this thing up, he could easily go under. He could easily go under.
Yeah, but you know what they say. I mean, when you've got you always give the ball to the best player. You don't let the big dog eat. I mean, he's the best player on the offensive side of the football.
Okay. A war of attrition.
In my opinion, yeah. Just keep handing off. Let's Harbaugh this thing. Why don't we have Jim Harbaugh style football with Emmett Johnson, a running back, and just keep pounding the rock, pounding the rock. Then it'll open some things up, you know, for TJ. I like the over here even with, but to your point, yeah, he's going to have one splash. Probably.
One splash play will get me there.
Yeah, just like last week. I mean, it took the 30-some yard, whatever that was.
52 yeah, on the first drive.
That's exactly 50. All right, it's a good chunk of it right there.
Yeah.
But, one splash play will get you there.
Okay, all right. Well, let's flip the script. We don't want to just focus on Iowa offense. We got to talk about the limited Iowa offense here, not just Nebraska offense. Mark Gronkowski, their star quarterback, came in with a lot of hype. and as of right now, he's passed for over 1,000 yards. So, I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do.
You said a lot of hype. We were talking before the season how their highlight on Twitter was the out route. Yeah. You know, we've got a guy.
He nailed a 5-yarder.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Jameis Winston before we got on. It's like, he's got to be in on the joke, right? Is Iowa in on the joke?
They've got to be. If they're not, I mean, this probably is impressive for them.
Okay. Well, 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the season. He held true to that last week in that climatic game against Michigan State where he had 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Is he going to do it again? Is he going to go 1-1?
I've got under for him on everything. I think we could. I think we could.
Under a half interception?
Under a half. All right. I take that back on the interception.
Okay.
I think we're going to hit the over on that. Yes, he's going to throw a pick. I do think we're going to hit the under on that touchdown, under a half on the touchdown, because I just don't see him matching up well with our secondary. I mean, this is going to be one of the last shots at our secondary, really showing what we've been all season. And I'm really excited to see it against the Iowa quarterback. But, I do think he throws at least one pick.
Okay.
And it'll just be a matter of kind of the gameplay and where we're at in the second half on whether he's even throwing the football much.
Pretty good balance there. So we're going to go over half interception, under half touchdown pass.
There you go.
All right.
Easy money.
That does sound pretty good. That sounds good. I like that. Okay, well, it wouldn't be an Iowa-Nebraska game if we didn't talk special teams. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the headliners going into this one, the punters.
The headliners.
Both Australian natives, both up for the Ray Guy Award. I think they both... There's some kicking academy in Australia that they both worked out at or did some training at. So, in rugby guys, you know, from Australia. So, for Reyes Dawkin, the Iowa punter, in 10 games, he has punted a square 30 times for 1,274 yards, an average of 42.5 yards per kick, over under 3 punts. It's right there. He averages 3 punts a game.
Give him the over. Give him the over.
They're going to punt us to death, aren't they?
They're going to punt us to death. Give them the over. I honestly believe Iowa likes punting.
I think, feels that way.
Yeah. I mean, Iowa is not afraid to all right, didn't work out this series, punt it, get rid of it, defense out there.
They're going to be at the Nebraska 37-yard line, down by 4 with 3 minutes left to go in the game, and they're going to punt. Right?
That's their style. Yeah, that's what it is. Ferentz hasn't
seen. They'll probably put us to the over, too. I'm going over. You talked me into it.
It's so funny because, like, we'll drive that first drive and we'll go down fourth and whatever. Doesn't matter where we're on the field. We're going for it. We'll fail. And then Iowa's just like, punt it. And then they come out the winners.
And all roads lead to 7-4. And gosh dang it, we're pretty happy about that. That's not bad. I'm starting to buy into this mentality, this Big Ten middle of the pack mentality.
You know, that has actually, last week when we lost that game, that helped me post game. Going, you know what? We still got 7 wins.
Hey, yeah. We're right there. I mean, we're right there. You know.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I take the over on those punts.
Over. Yep, has to be over. It feels like that's also a statement for the Hawkeyes and their offense to just be like, hey, we're gonna punt this 5, maybe 6 times today, and we're gonna beat you 13-10. 10-9. We don't care.
Let's get our guy involved in it. Why let him, you know?
All right. This is a home game. So, like War Horse and the in-state books, they're all shut down. So, you're going to have to get creative or go over the border or whatever. But Archie Wilson, this is a fun one. Over 15.5 penalty yards.
You know he's good for that.
Last week, he lit that kid up a good yard and a half out of bounds. That might have been the best hit. Best tackle of the game for the Husker defense.
He hammered him. I mean, they need to show that.
That's a rugby.
That's the thing. He probably knows some things from his rugby days that maybe our guys don't know. They need to show that in a film study.
It made all the highlight packages, maybe for the wrong reasons, but maybe we should reframe our mind, like what you're saying here, use that for motivational type stuff and be like, guys, linebackers, we're bringing our punter in here. Look what he did here. I know it was a penalty, but sometimes those penalties fire a team up. Like when your coach gets ejected or something like that.
That's why Bo Pelini was so successful.
Is it?
That's exactly it right there. He would just get guys fired up even when he got a penalty. But if they don't show Archie's hit during the pregame package when Will Compton's giving his pregame speech, we screwed it up if we don't show it.
Will's got to highlight that, right?
Has to.
I mean, I don't want to belittle Sean Singleton. Guthrie had some really good hits. It was a hard-hitting game against Penn State, but just too much. I mean, they're just giving up too much up front. That's where we need that Archie Wilson attitude.
Man, he's been a game changer for us this year.
I think we both like the over here, don't we?
Well, I love the over.
It kind of feels like he has to like live up to his namesake, and he's been building towards this all season long. He's the rough and tough rugby style kicker. And there's a little bit of like when your brothers are a rivalry, mm-hmm. where they're both from Australia. He's got to outdo that guy.
Yeah. Let's get a targeting. Right? Out there, Archie. Let's get a targeting this week.
Both of them would put him over 15, right?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah, that's the line. 14 and a half yards. 14 and a half.
Let's get a targeting
one,
this week.
One 15-yard penalty is all we're asking for here, Archie.
My man. That's incredible.
So, recap. We got Archie going over 14 and a half yards penalty yardage. We got Dockin, the punter from Iowa, going over his three punts. In 10 games, he's punted 30 times, so that's right on the nose. We like Mark Gronkowski going under
everything,
under his touchdown total of a half touchdown pass, but over a half interception. So he's going to get that interception. Emmett, 113 yards on the ground. We're going over.
Give me 167.
I would love that.
That would be incredible.
I would love that. And then it'd be even more interesting. Okay, how does Nebraska lose this one? We get the penalty on special teams. We get the 167 yards of rushing from our guy.
We got 7 wins, though.
We do.
Can't take that back.
That's not that bad.
Unless there's some scandal we don't know about. You can't take that back.
It's not a terrible year. 7-5. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
You know? Bad boy mower. Pimp stripe bulb. Something. Right where we want to be in year 3. That's what I was told. So.
Year 4 is going to be great.
Oh, I can't wait. All right. You heard the horn. That means we're up against it. But let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere. This is WTF.
T-L.
Hello.
Hi, I'm looking for a Mr. Ron. First name Mo.
Mo Ron? Moron. It's you, little puke.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm yours. And D. Klassen, joined by
the J.O.
The J.O. from Nebraska. Okay, and we've talked enough Nebraska, Iowa. We got to get into the league. The NFL, and what has turned into really, it's all a cash cow this entire hour, but these player props, they're on fire. It's getting a little hot in here.
Yeah, if you are not following these player props, you could have paid for Christmas presents, Hanukkah gifts. You could have paid for it all.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty impressive. All 3 short videos that we put out last week, all just smacked. Easy. In the can, in the bag.
Shout out YouTube page. Get on there follow, subscribe if you have.
We're also on X and we've been seen on Facebook too. So we are out there.
But yeah, every Sunday I'm watching the games and I have to laugh. I'm cha-ching, like, just nailing it. Yeah.
You got the ticket. We got the receipts. They're out there.
Who would have known that Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston would be the key to it all this year? Yeah.
And, pick your kicker, pick your punter. We're all over that.
We're all over it, yeah. We love special teams around here.
All righty. Well, where do you want to start today?
Well, I'd love to start. I got a Thanksgiving game. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Thursday, Thanksgiving, we've got Dallas and the Kansas City Chiefs. So this this game is super important to both teams.
Yes.
But one team still somehow one of the favorites to win the whole freaking thing, and Kansas City Chiefs. This is the deal. They're going to be pressing. They've got a lot going on. Yeah. A lot of needs. I see the Dallas defense stepping up this week.
Okay.
Okay. With an anytime touchdown with incredible value, plus 525 Dallas defense, anytime touchdown. They just came off of a game where they shut out Philly in the second half to a comeback win. Incredible.
That was a crazy game.
Incredible. Dallas always rides a little high on Thanksgiving because it's their day to shine, right?
Sure.
Here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes, just like I was saying, big game for the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes has thrown 5 interceptions in his last 4 games.
He's in one of those. He goes through cycles, it seems like. And that's where he's at right now.
That's where he's at right now. So you've got a Dallas defense that's riding high right now. You got Patrick Mahomes who's pressing just a little bit.
Yeah.
And the team really needs him. That's usually a recipe for a Dallas defense anytime touchdown.
Yeah, there's a path to that. There's a clear path to that. And it is the part of the season where Chiefs, they got to press.
Yeah.
They got to press. You know, so I wouldn't even look down upon Mahomes as if he's scrambling, trying to make something happen. He puts the ball out there and things happen. It's kind of where they're at. They have to roll the dice.
And that's what you see during the playoffs. And the playoffs truly started for the Chiefs last week. So, I mean, they're in must-win mode every single week.
Okay. All right. I the more I think about that, the more I like that. Defensive touchdown, that's pretty wild to try and get behind. But okay. All right. I'm coming around. Help me with this one.
Okay.
That was one of the ones that you smacked last week, and it has to do with an anytime touchdown for Jonathan Taylor.
All right.
Okay. He's matched up against the number one overall ranked defense, both passing and rushing, the Houston Texans. They came out of nowhere. They have the elite of the elitists. They are number one right now in week 13 in the NFL. Jonathan Taylor always gets his. But the line is at minus 260. I don't like the value there. And I just think that the Texans might keep him out anyway. They have that good of a unit.
Well, that's the thing. Last week, it was Jonathan Taylor under on the rushing yards that we took.
Yes.
And it hits. And he's kind of in that weird spot right now of this season where he was on fire for so long.
Yeah.
And now defenses are really honing in on him. Yeah. They just opened some things up, you know, elsewhere for the Colts to still do damage. But yeah, I'm with you on this one. I mean, the Texans defense has been special.
Yeah.
And is the reason why they're still in the mix.
Yeah, they don't even have their starting quarterback. In fact, he's kind of become the heel. He's kind of a joke now.
As soon as you said Houston, I'm like, you talking about that team with the new quarterback?
Because but Jonathan Taylor's still way out in front. 17 touchdowns, total touchdowns on the season. The next closest is, let's go, I got to scroll down the line here, Jahmyr Gibbs with 13. So that just shows you how dominating he's been. As far as putting the ball in the end zone, I just don't know if I like it on this week, this matchup. And as you mentioned, when you start out so hot and you're scoring so much early on, teams adjust, defenses adjust. There's only one way to go. That's down.
And that's down. And he's, you know, Jonathan Taylor's still the favorite right now to win offensive player of the year.
Sure.
Certainly could still win that. You're going to have those ups and downs. He's just only had the ups until last week. I like to see him continue that kind of down before things really heat up for the Colts, where maybe they have to really rely on him for some playoff placing. But yeah.
No anytime touchdown. Look at that under on yardage as well.
All right. I'm going to stick with the Dallas Cowboys on this one because we've got a hot player. Okay.
Okay.
George Pickens.
Oh, yes, sir.
Has been an animal lately.
Okay.
His last two games, both games, 9 catches. Has scored a touchdown in both those games and has really blown up as far as making the most of those catches as well. Anytime touchdown is plus money right now, 150.
Really?
And it's over 63% hit rate. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, give it to your guys.
Yep.
You know, it used to be in, Thanksgiving, Dallas Cowboys, it was always like whoever the star player is, you could bank on them scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, Zeke was going to jump in the little coin thing there for the Salvation Army and have fun. It's a party. You know, it's kind of set up for Dallas to have some fun at home. You just breezed over a little term there, and we got to highlight it.
Okay.
Catches. The difference between him and CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. Pickens catches the ball.
Yes, he does.
CeeDee Lamb, even in Oklahoma, it's like, man, this guy's awesome if he just would catch the ball. And in the NFL, it catches up to you even if you're a superstar like CeeDee Lamb is. At one point, he had three drops. One was in the end zone. Dak redacted real quick. Next couple times in the end zone, he was looking for Pickens. I like that anytime touchdown.
I love the idea of using what you just brought up is an incredible strategy that I use a lot in fantasy football, where you have like the stud wide receiver one who has, you know, a bit of a drops, and then you take whoever that number two is and you draft them as best value as you possibly can in the draft. And they will carry you for many weeks because they're going to get some volume, if not because of the drops, but because they're going to get opportunities just because of who's their opposite side of the field. I use that every single season, and I love using that in sports betting here in this instance. George Pickens, anytime, it's money.
I like it. I like it. Devontae Adams, who is who you're talking about right there. Okay, I've been kind of a Debbie Downer here as far as anytime touchdowns. I'm just going to stay on that train. Christian McCaffrey, anytime touchdowns, a minus money bet right now. Well, who are they up against? The Browns.
The Browns, yeah.
Who has a top five defense? Two in rushing total defense? The Browns.
The Browns.
Say what you will about Joe Flacco and not there or there, or Shedeur Sanders, the whole nine, all eight quarterbacks they started the season with. The one constant is they have a stellar defense, and they're at the top as far as a rush defense. And Christian McCaffrey, throughout his entire career, if it's not working, he's quick to get a little ankle sprain or a little shoulder thing, you know, and he gets in the blue tent, and it's like, oh, man, I guess I just can't play the rest of this game. You know, it's tough. And this is a tough game. I think this is a tough game for the 49ers.
I think it's a tougher game than they're going to give it credit. You know, they're coming off of Monday Night Football against Carolina, and McCaffrey.
How weird.
They got caught up in, you know, the McCaffrey game is what they were calling it because of the Panthers and 49ers. Brock Purdy back, not everything's on McCaffrey anymore.
Yeah.
I could totally see what you're saying. It's going to be a struggle against this Browns defense, and McCaffrey has had to really put this team on his back all season long. He's actually the favorite now in futures for comeback player of the year.
Deservedly so. Yeah. And he scored 12 total touchdowns, 5 through the air. I mean, that's why it's a minus money bet.
It's a minus money, yeah.
That's why it's a minus money bet. And I'm just looking at this matchup. You mentioned the short week and the high he had to come off of, being having a game named after you, playing for both teams, all that stuff. I see a little bit of a letdown here, and this is a classic spot where Christian McCaffrey already did all the splash stuff the week before on Monday night. This is where he can get some rest in. Oh, what does LeBron James call it? Load management.
Load management.
Christian McCaffrey has made a career, even before it was his career, sitting out the bowl games at Stanford. I'm taking as many shots at this 49er as possible because I'm not a 49ers fan. And, you know, it's been his MO his entire career. Get yours, McCaffrey. I can't say that I would do anything different.
No, he's quite the talent. You know,
he's so talented.
Within this football game, though, there's another guy who I'm going to take the over on.
Okay.
And you can probably guess who I'm talking about. He plays on the other team, the Cleveland Browns. He's their new quarterback.
Right here.
He is the new quarterback, Shedeur Sanders. Give me the over of 0.5 touchdowns.
I love
Give
that.
Me the Come over.
On. Yeah, of course.
You know. Another week of prep.
Yep.
He's going to go and ball out. I got to tell you, I was impressed with him.
I mean, it was kind of fun and kind of refreshing to see him do well because he takes so many bullets.
He does. And it doesn't seem to bother him.
No, I think he's like, kind of reminds me of Trump almost, where he's like, bad publicity's
bring it
good
on.
Good publicity. You know,
it's like, exactly.
I don't know why the networks are putting me on, but they are, and I love it.
You know, it's one of those things where he's just like, oh, you don't like me being the starting quarterback? That's cool. I'm going to go do it, though.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go do that.
Yep.
And then you guys hang out here. Like, he's just, I love his confidence. I love that he could back it up.
Yep.
Give me the over on that one.
And regardless, he's going to put that ball in the end zone a number of times.
Yes, yes.
One of them has to Something has to land, right?
It's got
to hit. Or has to hit. You got one more?
Yeah. I like this guy. He has been on fire lately. Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. I found a trend, and this is why this week you're going to take the under on 74.5 rushing yards.
Really?
Okay. So last week, 219 yards rushing. The week before, 39.
Mm.
The week before that, 142. The week before that, 25. The week before that, 136.
Okay, so you're seeing this pattern.
We're going every other. We've got Green Bay this week for the Lions. Their defense is pretty good.
They're holding the opposition under 100 yards on the ground week in and week out. Good for a top five defense.
There you go. I say Gibbs under 74.5, not just because of the defensive matchup. But that's just kind of been his every other pattern there.
Yep. That's that next level research that we're talking about. That's why these props
are hitting. They're hitting.
You couldn't believe. All right, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is thelinemakers.com, where we don't chase the hype, we decode it, treating every wager like an investment. Thelinemakers.com, we make the line so you beat the book. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
Capitalism is the only way, Leslie. It moves our country forward. It's what makes America great, and England okay, and France terrible.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Glesson, joined by
the J.O.
The J.O., and we got to get into the institution that is the NFL. Bottom five, and not just the bottom five bets to go along, the best bets to go along with the bottom five.
They don't call the NFL the nefariously fun league for no reason. I mean, we like to bring.
That's what they call it?
Isn't that what they call the NFL?
Yeah. I got it.
And we bring a lot of those analytics with us as well, some nefariously fun analytics on how we determine who the five worst teams are heading into the week. Now,
we don't get lost in the analytics, though. There's more to it than just numbers.
Correct.
There's a lot of numbers that over, linemakers.com, our website, but you take it to the next level.
Here's the thing. Have you ever been to a game and you've heard somebody sitting next to you just going, oh, we're terrible. Oh, what are they doing?
Yeah.
I consider all those things. When the fans are chirping,
okay,
all of that gets put into the analysis, which is what spits out these five worst.
Okay, vibes.
Vibes are
everything.
If the vibes are low, they end up on my desk.
Okay. look for the unders.
Look for the unders.
Okay.
Well, for week 13, your bottom five. Number five, the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh, talk about low vibes.
Man, this is a fan base that understands that things are just not going to go their way a lot of times. They have been through some heartbreak. But, man, this season's been kind of weird for them.
Yeah.
4-7. And 4-7, it sits kind of in that every other, they've had some games where they look really good.
Yeah, JJ, he was like Mr. MVP for a couple weeks there.
Yes. And then last week.
They got to cut him now.
Well, I just assumed he's got a flare up on that injury and he needs to sit for a few weeks or something.
Carson, get back out of here. Take that cast off.
Roll him back out. But that 23-6 loss to Green Bay was very telling. JJ did not look good at all. And, just like I said, playing like he needs another break from injury, that's for sure. They've got a stretch though where they could end up 10-7.
Okay. All right.
That's if we're thinking positively. Okay. So they've got Seattle this week. Then they've got the Commanders, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Lions, and the Packers. Now, there's a couple games in there, where that's a tough stretch.
That's a 10.5 point dog to Seattle.
Correct.
Yikes.
And Minnesota hasn't necessarily played well against the spread. So you're looking at that line being 10.5, thinking, oh, double digits, that's high.
It's on the road against a top 10 defense, and what are we doing at quarterback? I see why it's a double digit.
Yeah. So I look at that stretch and I go, the positive side of me says the Minnesota could make a run, but J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, everything that's kind of been mixed in this season,
yeah,
it's just not likely. So now it's kind of flipping into, that's kind of a tough stretch. But like you were just saying, Seattle 10.5, that is actually my best bet this week with the Minnesota Vikings, is Seattle covering that 10.5, because the Vikings just have not been able to cover throughout this season.
And it's on the road.
And it's on the road.
It's in Seattle.
And for whatever reason, they always have these weird feel, like there's just weird games with Seattle. So
yeah,
it's just been a tough go for them.
The NFC West has just kind of been back and forth. You know, you got some, obviously three really good teams out there, maybe four. So
Sam Darnold revenge game.
Yeah, there we go.
Number four, your Las Vegas Raiders at 2-9. They fired the offensive coordinator this week, Chip Kelly.
Yeah,
you're telling me Chip Kelly was the problem?
Sure.
Chip,
why not?
I think they got deeper problems than Chip Kelly, but he was the fall guy. You also lost to Shedeur Sanders, making his first NFL start.
Yikes.
That is the first quarterback making his debut at the Browns since like 2014. The Raiders, only the Raiders could pull that off. They've got the Chargers this week in LA. The Chargers are coming off of a bye. Some offensive shakeup, little different voices or whatnot for the Raiders. I do think the Raiders are going to cover this week, but man, Pete Carroll, he's having to answer all the questions so far.
It's a big point spread. This is another big number, 9.5 for the Chargers. And it's just kind of funny. The Raiders have to go back to LA, place they called home twice, three times.
And generally when they do go play in LA and it's a home game for the Chargers, there's a big fan base that comes in for the Raiders. So it's going to feel like a home game a little bit.
All right. But you like the Raiders actually covering this 9.5?
My best bet is the Raiders plus 9.5. I'll give you two reasons. Okay. One, the Raiders are going to shake it up offensively with Chip Kelly out this week. So you always know there's going to be something that the Chargers are prepared for.
Off the wall.
Number two, the Chargers always play one score games. That's just what we do. So
wearing your Chargers hoodie over there.
Yeah.
You know the MO. You know the...
That's just how it's going to go down.
Okay. Yeah.
So that game's going to be closer than what the line predicts, even with LA coming off of a bye.
Okay. So we're climbing the ladder here. Who's number three?
Number three, the New York Jets at 2-9, just got smoked by Baltimore 23-10. I called it last week that moving to Tyrod Taylor at quarterback was moving to the future of 2026.
Yeah.
That proved it. There was no reason to believe, honestly, that the Jets are going to win another game in 25.
I don't think they want, their fan base doesn't want them to. They want to lock down that number one pick.
They somehow, some way, Mike McCoy and the Tennessee Titans need to win a game so that the Jets can get back into that number one spot. But at 2-9, they're going to do everything they can to lose. They do have Atlanta this week. Atlanta only favored 2.5. Kirk Cousins didn't look too bad this week. So
no.
That's with the Jets, kind of the way they're throwing things. I've got my best bet, Atlanta minus 2.5.
And this is like a perfect game for Kirk Cousins, where like he knows his role. He's got one of the leading rushers in the league, and Bijan Robinson. He's just going to hand the ball off, hit those 5-yard slants on third down, just move the sticks, kind of stay out of the way, and they're going to beat him by over 2.5. I firmly believe that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Easy money there.
Yep.
Number two, the Cincinnati Bengals. What a year it's been. 3-8. And they managed to make that game against New England. They lost 26-20. They ended up managing to make it a game. I actually was believing for a little bit that Flacco was going to be able to pull off the victory. They didn't. It's too little too late, but Joe Burrow is back this week.
Night game, they play NBC.
Yep, Thanksgiving, Thursday night football.
Hollywood Joe just happens to show up when the lights are on.
When the lights are on, yeah.
Yep.
So the Bengals with Joe Burrow are 2-0 against the spread this season.
Wow.
Now, that was the first two games.
Yep.
And a lot has happened since then, including this defense completely falling apart. But they are 2-0. That gives me enough confidence to take the Bengals plus 7 as my best bet.
Wow. This feels kind of weird. You've been a Bengal basher throughout this, which they still are. Bottom five.
Yeah, they're still the second worst team in the NFL going into the week.
Defensively, they are the worst. They are the 32nd.
There you go.
Best team.
And I do think they're going to lose this game, but I do like them to cover the plus 7.
Yeah, that's a big number in the NFL. Touchdown, the extra point to go along with it. And Baltimore has been so inconsistent regardless of who's on the field, who's not on the field, are the Ravens, are they still in timeout? Did they get their video games back? Did they get their foosball table back?
So they haven't gotten them back yet, but they have been told that if they eat their Thanksgiving dinner,
and
all of it, and they take care of the Bengals, they could get their games back.
Oh, that might be thinking that they might cover that 7. Then.
They might cover.
I mean, those guys, some of those guys, they really like their foosball.
Well, I'm going to bet on Joe Burrow.
Okay.
And his confidence here on this one.
Hollywood Joe,
baby. All right. Number one, the worst team in the NFL as we head into week 13 is the New York Giants at 2-10. Now, you might be thinking, with Jameis Winston at quarterback, how could the Giants fan base not be excited and not have high vibes? I mean, he was electric last week.
It was a lot of fun.
With all the injuries, all the losses, the coach is getting fired, and now you got Jameis Winston to look forward to, and they still lost.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I don't know what the Giants could do. I mean, it's a lost cause.
They even rolled out Jameis, and he did the whole thing, gave us an all-time quote, you know, Shakespearean type stuff.
Like,
next level. I know we're outside, but we're inside. Well, actually, we're outside. But, I mean, try to keep up with that.
He'll always make you think. He'll always make
you
think.
He's a deep thinker. They're a 7.5-point dog to New England Monday night.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of points are going to get scored.
Okay.
6 out of the last 7 games, the Giants have hit the over. And now that Jameis Winston is got a few games under his belt, and he's feeling, you know, prepared and hyped, I like to see that trend continue. I like the over of 46.5 in this game.
Yep, the total of 46.5. That's not too high for you. And, you know, the way that Jameis has been flying, and let's give New England their due.
Yeah.
Pretty efficient. Drake May still in the discussion for MVP. He's putting together a heck of a season. They're going to want to defend home. They want to keep winning, stacking up wins. And New York, it does feel at this point, it's fun. They're just rolling out there for fun, and nothing's more fun than a touchdown. Right?
Nothing's more fun than a touchdown.
What helps us get to that over?
Well, I'll give you one thing that's more fun than a touchdown.
What's that?
Eating them dubs.
See, Jameis needs to have, like, this memoir. He needs to just have one, like, mid-career, and then he can worry about a memoir post-career.
Post-career,
like,
yeah.
We're ready. I think the world might need it, like, right now. Just more fun.
How cool is that, that he's so prolific? That you could have 2 biographies.
Yeah, and if there's one guy that could pull it off, it's Jameis Winston.
It's Jameis Winston.
Well, and if he did it right now, it could be like, well, those are the first 5 teams he played for. Right. And then the next one could include the next 5 teams that he played for.
There's no slowing this guy down, yeah.
Not at all. No. The NFL is his oyster or something like that.
Oh, yeah. So, well, that's our bottom 5.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, and I think I feel pretty good about each and every one of those bets. We kind of laid it out there why those things are going to hit.
Oh, yeah. We're making money.
We are.
Winners only this week.
Well, you heard the horn right there. That means we're up against it. So that'll about do it for us this week on Where's the Line. Be sure to check us out on YouTube and all of our short videos that roll out on each and every game day, giving you that latest edge possible. We're also over on ESPN Tri-City Radio and their Facebook page. We're on X. Where else are we?
We're on X. We're on TikTok.
Facebook. Anywhere where there's social media to be had. And it does feel like that podcast is starting to blow up, too. We're not just on ESPN Radio.
Oh, yeah. Check us out anywhere you can find your favorite pods.
For Jeremy Odom, a.k.a. The J.O., I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.